This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Five of the country's biggest banks have agreed to a $25 billion settlement over their role in the foreclosure crisis. The agreement announced today amounts to the largest legal settlement with a single industry since the tobacco deal of 1998.
Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley was one of 49 state attorneys general who signed on to the agreement, and the deal could provide some financial relief to nearly 2 million current and former American homeowners who were hit by the housing collapse.
Here's Attorney General Eric Holder at a news conference earlier today.
With this settlement, we are recovering precious taxpayer resources, and the state attorneys general will be establishing a fund to facilitate payments to borrowers who, as a result of improper lending practices, lost their homes during the foreclosure crisis.
And that fund may include more than $300 million for the Bay State. So joining us now with more is Boston Globe reporter Jennifer McKim. She is a business reporter covering residential real estate. Jennifer, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you.
So great to have you. Let me ask you, $300 million might sound like a lot for Massachusetts, but in comparison to the size of the foreclosure crisis here, how much would it actually help current and former homeowners?
Well, absolutely. It's a help. Everybody says it's a help, and we all know that homeowners need help at this point. There's a lot of people who are underwater, a lot of problems, but it's not going to solve the whole foreclosure crisis or the whole housing crisis in the state or across the nation.
I've seen estimates, and this may not apply to Massachusetts, but nationwide it might amount to some $2,000 for certain homeowners. The banks that have been named are Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and Ally Financial. The big giants. So is this a step forward in terms of putting a floor underneath the housing market, as people have hoped, for some kind of settlement?
Well, absolutely. Again, there are so many people in need of help, and this will provide things. And it's going to be offering different types of help. I just heard from the AG's office. They're expecting thousands of people should be helped through this new program. And there's different things. Yes, you're right, $2,000. They're talking between $1,500 and $2,000 to people who have already lost their homes, and they may have been mistreated by servicers or lenders in some way. Either their homes were illegally or unlawfully seized, or they can say some other thing that they were mistreated. But then there's a much larger group of people whose homes are underwater, whose properties their values are smaller than the size of their mortgages, and now that they can apply for principal reduction, which is a big deal, where they can actually reduce the size of their mortgage so it's more affordable for them, and others can get help with refinancing. So there's a whole, there's sort of like a menu of help that they're hoping to provide homeowners here.
I wonder, what does the settlement not include? Because it seems to me that there are the banks, those five banks at least now, are protected from certain forms of litigation.
Basically, the Massachusetts Attorney General, she had really been fighting this or negotiating with these people up to the very end. It was unclear whether Massachusetts was going to be part of it, and largely she's already sued the banks for failing to treat homeowners right, and she was able to carve out something in these negotiations that allows her to continue her litigation against the banks for unlawfully seizing mortgages from homeowners. So some of the things that she's concerned about, she's allowed to continue in litigation.
And that was one of the things that that Attorney General Martha Coakley wanted to hold out for before she agreed to sign on today.
Exactly.
There's one particular issue, the last question for you, Jennifer, that I know a lot of people had, they were paying attention to, and that was this issue of the robo-signing that got a lot of these banks in trouble. And if I understand correctly, does this settlement protect these five banks from being sued or, you know, further investigation about the robo-signing issue?
Well, I think that is part of the settlement. This whole settlement happened because the AG started an investigation into them about a year and a half ago because they were concerned about the fact that there were these employees in banks signing thousands of documents without ever reviewing them. And that was the beginning. So that was sort of the basis of the settlement, was to stop bothering us about this issue. So my understanding is there are still places where people can litigate. They can still homeowners can still sue individually. Nonprofits can sue individually. Criminal cases can go forward, but this is a settlement, so I'm sure that there are some things that will be stalled from this. Mm-hmm.
Jennifer McKim is a business reporter for the Boston Globe. She covers residential real estate. Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we're joined now by Paul Collier. He's a Cambridge attorney who represents homeowners facing foreclosure. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. We're good. Very well. Good to have you. So $25 billion, maybe $300 million or so for Massachusetts that could provide help for a lot of current and former homeowners. That's what we're hearing. What's your opinion of this settlement?
Well, you know, you break it down into pieces. First, they're talking about less than $2,000 a piece for homeowners whose houses were taken from them illegally by banks enforcing mortgages that were probably illegal when they were written because they were unfair and deceptive and unaffordable. So when you just say it that way, that is, you're getting $1,700 or $2,000 for your home when it was taken illegally, it doesn't sound like much in the way of fair compensation.
So in terms of what an individual homeowner would get sort of spread out over the whole country, it doesn't sound like much. But $25 billion, the biggest settlement, as we mentioned, since the tobacco settlement. I mean, doesn't this send a pretty strong message to the banks that that what they did was wrong?
I suppose it depends on how you see the scale. I mean, these are banks that got over $700 billion in public funds to bail them out of the bad mortgages they had underwritten. And these are banks that have foreclosed on literally trillions of dollars of mortgages. And so when you look at that being the scale, then $25 billion, sure, you can't get to that many zeros and say it's nothing. But in terms of actually punishing banks for the predatory lending and the predatory foreclosing, it's not commensurate with the harm.
Paul, give me a sense, speaking of that harm, and I've talked to you about the kind of people that you represent, what kind of help would you like to see, or what would you have liked to see come out of a settlement like this for the people that you're representing?
I mean, the problem with it on both ends is pretty extreme, which is the banks have been and continue to be utterly resistant to writing down the mortgages to reflect the actual value of people's homes and to allow people who are working and able to support a fair mortgage to stay there. And they've refused to do it despite the Obama administration offering billions and billions of dollars in HAMP funds. They've refused to do it despite litigation all over the country. And the suggestion that they're going to do it now as part of this settlement is the same exact thing that this enforcement authority, that is the United States Department of Justice, has announced four or five times along the way. It's just been a sham, and it's still a sham. And if you look at the actual numbers, more homes are entering foreclosure now than entered the foreclosure process a year ago. And as long as that keeps up, the construction industry will remain depressed, the housing market will remain distressed. They're talking about millions of more foreclosed homes going on the market in the next 2 years, which will drive down housing values even further and leave us all in a limping economy.
Well,
the failure of the federal government and of the state regulatory authorities to stop these foreclosures is really a tragedy.
Well, let's just go back to that first thing you said about folks needing help, essentially paying less in their monthly payments so that their payments reflect what their home is actually worth. As you said, this agreement is supposed to address that. If it actually does this time, that would represent progress, wouldn't it?
It would at least represent progress. But the problem is that, Anthony, is that that's exactly what they said when the HAMP money came out.
Yep.
It's exactly what they said when the banks made the first agreement with the feds over their violations of the HAMP program, and it's exactly what they're saying now. And I hate to say it, but, you know, there's that old line about the guy who cries wolf, right? I'm tired of hearing that banks are going to do the right thing when every single day in every conversation I have with a bank or a bank's lawyer, they're doing the wrong thing.
So not a lot of confidence coming from you, Paul Collier. One more question. Martha Coakley was one of the last attorneys general to sign on. In your view, was she wrong to do so?
It's hard to be very critical of our attorney general, who's been just at the top of the pack on this issue. But the truth is, I think most of us are disappointed that that this one was signed on to, because it just doesn't seem commensurate with the harm.
Well, Paul Collier, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us. We appreciate your perspective.
Thank you, Anthony, and Radio Boston.
That's Paul Collier. He's an attorney from Cambridge who represents homeowners facing foreclosure, talking about the agreement today between five major banks and 49 attorneys general.